Hey, welcome back to the Strong Mama Podcast. I'm Nicole, your host, exercise physiologist, and a pre and postnatal fitness coach, and super excited to have you. Whether you have been a longtime listener, maybe you're a newer listener, welcome either way. We are going to keep trucking along in our trimester series, and today we are talking about the third trimester, and we do have one more episode coming next week in this series, and it's going to be on the fourth trimester. So the first 0 to 12 weeks postpartum, what can we be doing to support our body? So be sure to subscribe to the podcast, leave a rating and review if you haven't already and you're enjoying this content. I would super appreciate that. That helps me out so much and honestly, it makes my day. So, all right, let's get into it. Third trimester, I feel like so often the third trimester is like this feared place, this feared time period that people just expect that they're going to be huge. You're going to have the pregnancy waddle. You're going to be too uncomfortable to do anything at all. And I just have to say that that does not have to be the case, especially if you are listening to the things that I tell you. And that's not to say that what I'm saying is the end all be all by any means. There are a lot of factors that play into how we feel during pregnancy and especially in the third trimester, like our genetics and our anatomy. But I do think that if you can take a preventative approach and do the things within your control, you certainly have the best odds of being functional and active throughout your third trimester. So I know for myself personally, I've experienced a little bit of a slowdown within those last 3 to 4 weeks or so, but like, it's not like the whole third trimester was absolute hell, you know? And pretty much all of my prenatal clients have stayed active and trained right up to the final weeks prior to birth. That doesn't mean we're like full throttle still at that point. Like things certainly taper off. But I will say that exercise is a really key thing to do if you don't want to feel so uncomfortable late in pregnancy that you can't, you know, do daily things, right? So my point is that it can be done. You can enjoy your third trimester, and we're going to talk about body changes that you can expect, exercise tips for supporting your body, including birth prep tips, and exercises that I recommend modifying from here on out. This episode is truly jam-packed, and I won't keep you waiting any longer, so let's go ahead and dive in. Welcome to the Strong Mama Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole, mom, exercise physiologist, and pre- and postnatal fitness expert. This show is all about helping you navigate your pregnancy and postpartum journey with more strength, energy, and ease. Each week, pull up a seat for a new topic that will empower you to feel strong, capable, and confident while supporting your body through all the changes of the motherhood journey. Just a reminder that the information on this show is not meant to treat or diagnose any medical condition. Please speak to your medical provider for all things related to your healthcare. I'm honored and excited to be a part of your health journey into motherhood. Now let's dive into today's episode. All right, Mama, I want to start this episode the same way that I've started all of the other ones. So if you haven't listened to the first and second trimester and you're just coming to this in the third, no worries. I have been starting these just by like going over some body changes that you can expect in this phase of pregnancy. Obviously, you are like experiencing them in real time, of course, but I do think like calling them out specifically, and I think some of them you probably aren't super aware of, but calling them out specifically will help you to really understand why we are applying the exercise tips and strategies that I'm about to share with you, and that you can just understand like your body and what's going on. I think that's just super helpful to start with. So first off, there's nothing incredibly new from the second trimester. The main thing here is that things are really just picking up in terms of growth, like baby's growth, you're growing, you're gaining weight. So you're starting to see those things increase probably at more of a rapid pace. Like if you maybe didn't have a super visible bump throughout your second trimester, maybe it was just minimally there, it's really going to start to grow. Like this is the trimester where you grow the most essentially. And so what this means is that your center of gravity is also majorly shifting, which means your pelvis is being pulled forward, and that makes your glutes turn off, your glute muscles kind of go underactive, which leads to more of a flat butt appearance. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later. But with, again, with this growth, your shoulders are rounding forward slightly. So that's kind of leading to some postural, I don't want to say issues, but postural changes that could lead to some aches and pains. And then breast development is another thing here too, because your breasts are also growing. That's where some of that weight gain goes. So that breast development contributes to the rounded shoulders and that sort of postural alignment kind of being thrown out of whack from neutral. Another thing here is that there at this point will be more load or more weight bearing down on your pelvis. So the joints of your pelvis and your pelvic floor, and of course, any joints below that, like your knees, your ankles, things like that. So the third trimester is really where we tend to see some aches and pains start to creep in. Not always. Some pregnant women do not experience aches and pains, the ones that I'm about to share with you. I will say though that the vast majority do to some extent experience aches and pains. And what they're really coming from, it's a combination of your anatomy and genetics. Of course, that's going to play a role in everything, but also the hormone relaxin, which started in the first trimester if you weren't around for that one. But the hormone relaxin is essentially relaxing all of your muscles, your ligaments, your joints. And so that's unstabilizing everything, destabilizing. I don't know the correct vocab apparently for that one, but everything is becoming more unstable because of that hormone. And you've got the added weight from your baby, of course, and the postural changes that we just talked about. So with that sort of perfect storm of instability, added weight gain, postural changes, we are naturally going to see some aches and pains creep in. And I don't want to be mysterious about just saying like aches and pains. So what are some specific ones or some common ones that we experience? One of the most common ones that I see with clients and that I have experienced as well is pelvic pain. And pelvic pain can be either in the front of the pelvis, so more of a pubic symphysis pain, or in the back of your pelvis, which is more of an SI joint pain or sacroiliac joint, kind of where your sacrum meets your pelvis, essentially is all that is. So that sometimes confuses people with low back pain, but those are generally where pelvic pain reside. And again, they're due to relaxin, weight gain, postural changes. Another one is back pain. So from our sort of pelvis being pulled forward, our baby bump is pulling our pelvis forward, essentially. Think about your hip bones turning more towards the ground. You're creating that like low back arch, and that can contribute to some low back pain. Sciatic pain is another one, because as the weight of the baby, the weight of the uterus bears down and relaxin is loosening everything up, you might experience your uterus shifting into a position that compresses the sciatic nerve, which you can kind of feel like a tingly sensation down your leg. So it's just like a tingling, sometimes a numbness, and it can be pretty uncomfortable. That's not in every pregnancy. None of these are in every single pregnancy. I'm just kind of laying out there what might happen, what things are kind of common. Another one is carpal tunnel syndrome, and this one is probably less common, like the lesser common one of all of these. I can't talk today. Least common of all of these. And this is, again, this is a result of nerve compression and might feel like pins and needles in your hands. So hopefully I didn't just scare the living daylights out of you. I just say this all so that you can sort of like be prepared for what could happen. These are all very just possibilities, and I'm going to show you or teach you some ways that you can support your body, and everything I teach is very geared towards offsetting these. I really love to look at what are the demands on your body, what's happening, and how can we move our body in a way that's going to prevent these to the best extent possible so that you can feel your best. So I don't want to scare you. I want to prepare you the best that I can. Another body change here is that your core is continuing to expand, or your abdominals are continuing to expand and grow apart. And research actually tells us that about 100% of pregnancies will have diastasis recti by the end. And that it just is classified as a 2-finger width abdominal separation. This again is not to scare you. It's just to say like it is a very normal, natural response to pregnancy. And there are things you can do postpartum to heal that and re-strengthen that. And the final change that is worth mentioning here is that your caloric needs, your calorie needs are going to increase by about 400 calories per day above maintenance. Now, trimester two was a range of 200 to 400 with an average of 300 additional calories per day. So we're just adding like 1 to 200 calories per day in the third trimester. And this is not to say like go count your calories unless you have no idea where you're at and you suspect you could be under or overeating. But this is just to say, like, ensure that you are eating enough, you are fueling your body, with enough food to support you and your growing baby. So that's pretty much it for our body changes that I wanted to mention here. So let's go ahead and get into some exercise tips. First thing that I really want you to be thinking about in the third trimester and doing is to support your body's stability. So most of the aches and pains that we talked about come on when there is a lack of stability surrounding the joints and or those postural issues and changes that, again, we also mentioned. So the more we can strengthen the muscle groups surrounding our joints and specifically the muscle groups surrounding our pelvis, the more we can prepare for and prevent and minimize. I don't want to say prevent totally. I think that most pregnancies will have some sort of like ache or pain towards the end, but we can really minimize it. So how do we do this? How do we support our body's stability? Two things. The first one is strength training. And we want to just have a total body focus here. I talked a lot about strength in the trimester two episode, so definitely head back there if you want to hear more about that. I won't rant for too long about strength training here, but long story short, strength training is really going to support you and help you feel more stable and prevent those aches and pains. So if it's not something that you have done up to this point and you want to start incorporating it, you can. I would just make sure you are starting small and building up slowly, maybe having a coach or somebody to walk you through proper form, because that's going to be really key as well here. So long story short, I think I probably already said long story short, but strength training is going to be a really key way to support your stability. And this is something I recommend to do at least 2 to 3 times a week throughout your pregnancy. So if that's not something you're currently doing, highly recommend adding it in, again, in a safe way that makes sense for you. If you need support with that, I got you. Second thing is deep abdominal work as well as glute work. I kind of put these two hand in hand. So essentially we're talking about your core here. We're talking about your deep abdominals and glutes. These are going to be primary supporters of your posture as well as supporters of your pelvis or stabilizers around your pelvis. So I definitely recommend making sure you are moving away or have moved away from that traditional like on your back core work and are now doing more core stability work like bird dogs, bear crawl hovers, things like that. I can think of a million exercises, but you probably can't picture them in your mind. That's okay. Make sure you are getting in some sort of deep core work and then incorporating the glutes as well, because your glutes, due to these like postural changes and center of gravity changes, like you got to think about your bump is way out front, right? And your glutes are, of course, in the back, and they tend to become underactive and essentially, quote unquote, turn off in pregnancy, which is why your butt gets smaller. And I found that so profound and like so interesting, because that's something I definitely noticed in my first pregnancy, because I was doing like movements still like squats and lunges and deadlifts, but I wasn't doing like isolated glute work as much, like hip bridges, hip thrusts, single leg deadlifts, single leg bridges, things that really isolate your glutes. So highly recommend adding those into your strength routine as well. Make sure you are isolating them and not just like working them in the background of other muscle groups like you would with a squat or a deadlift. Now, these two things, strength training and this deep core work and glute work, can all be kind of put together on the same day, if you will, or within the same workout. You could, for instance, start with some deep core work to warm things up, get the core activated. That way it works even more in your strength workout, then go into some of your strength exercises. And then as you finish the workout, kind of do some isolated glute work to really target and fatigue those glutes and essentially finish them out. That's kind of the structure that I feel can be really cohesive. So the more stable you are, the better you will feel in your body and the more comfortable you will feel. So keep on a strength training. Next up, let's shift into a birth prep mindset. So yes, third trimester is the home stretch, right? So we want to be thinking about birth prep with our exercise. And this is kind of like one of my favorite phases to work with clients, because you are sort of just like building up to this point, and then you get to kind of incorporate these fun little tactics to really mimic labor and prepare for labor. And we talked about it a little bit in trimester two with the labor intensive interval training. So that's certainly like a little piece of this, but some other things that you can really think about in this third trimester. And you don't have to limit it to the third trimester. Like if you are in your second listening to this, you can still do this stuff now if you really want to. But mobility is a key thing, especially in the muscle groups surrounding the pelvis and your pelvic floor, because your pelvic floor does not push your baby out. It does not need to be strong to push your baby out. Your pelvic floor needs to relax and move out of the way. So we need to sort of like teach it to do that. So we really want to work on pelvic floor mobility. A couple different ways to do this would be a deep squat position. So thinking about getting into the lowest squat you can, where your butt is all the way back in your heels, essentially. If you can get that low, amazing. And that's one really good way to work on mobility. Another one is what I call internal rotation rock backs, where you're in all fours position, so hands and knees, and then you're going to take your toes out to the side. So if you're like on a yoga mat, you take your toes out to the side, keep your knees where they're at, so your knees are internally rotated now. And what you're going to do is just rock back, essentially. So you're just going to rock your hips back as far as your body will allow you, and then back to the starting position. You're just going to continue doing that. And you might feel some tightness here. I still do. This is something that I still work on because one hip is a lot tighter than the other. It's just the way that I naturally like sit and move through my day. And many clients also notice that like one hip is tighter with that one. So that's your homework. Take that one and go do it. Practice some internal rotations. And then the final stretch that I always give is the 90-90 hip stretch, where you're seated on the floor, your legs are out in front of you, knees are bent, and you're just essentially like dropping your knees to one side and then dropping them over to the other side, and they're in that 90-degree position at the knee joint. Some of these positions really help to open the pelvic inlet, the pelvic outlet, which can really be used during labor. So when I'm working with a client, we are identifying which of these movements are going to be really key at what point in labor. That way they know they can practice it beforehand, they're prepared to use it, and that's going to help baby descend through the pelvis more easily. So kind of cool there. Another thing with birth prep, and we talked about this a little bit last week, is building endurance. And with this, you'll continue some sort of steady state cardio, especially if you were doing that already. So whatever your choice of cardio is, whether that's walking, whether that is swimming, elliptical, bike, whatever your steady state cardio is, I would just make it low impact. And we'll talk about that here in a couple of minutes. So that's one way, is just continue to build your aerobic endurance. And then we talked about this last week, but labor intensive interval training, which is essentially mimicking labor contractions. So doing a high intensity interval of an exercise, and then on your relaxation, really shifting into a controlled breathing pattern and a labor position. So you're kind of working mobility and breath work, and it helps your mindset as well as your body to undergo periods of high intensity and then low intensity recovery. The final piece I want to talk about with birth prep is birth prep breathing. This is not like officially an exercise, but this is something that I really like to incorporate into active recoveries, especially with the interval training and sometimes even with strength training. It really just kind of depends on the person and where they're at and what their workouts look like. But what this is you're taking a big 360 inhale. So think about expanding your ribcage in all directions, relaxing your pelvic floor. And as you exhale, you're going to keep your pelvic floor relaxed. So you're doing a forceful exhale through pursed lips, belly button just naturally draws back in, and your pelvic floor stays relaxed. This is gonna feel weird. It's probably gonna feel unnatural, but essentially that's what you are going to be doing in labor. You're going in active labor. You're going to be pushing, and you'll want to relax your pelvic floor at the same time. And so practicing that in advance, piecing that into your workouts and your active recoveries, and just doing a few breaths of birth prep breathing can be really, really helpful. Okay, so that is pretty much it for exercise tips so far. Let's talk about some new modifications. So we want to consider everything we talked about before from trimester two. So still not doing those harsh twisting motions or advanced core work on your back. But some new things this time would be, I recommend low impact. And I say I recommend this because I know everybody has a different view. So it really depends on your risk tolerance. Now, low impact is really just meaning no jumping, no running. We're not bouncing around. You can still do like HIIT style workouts, but I wouldn't do like jumping essentially, because really what I've seen is that it can just pose a greater risk for your pelvic floor than a gain, especially for the everyday person. You might see some athletes still training and running and stuff like that, and they might be perfectly fine. They might not be, and they might not talk about it. But again, it really depends on your risk tolerance. It depends on how adamant you are about continuing that training type. But I do recommend for most of my clients, and also what I've done myself, is just really not done the high impact training once I hit the third trimester. Another movement I want you to modify in this trimester is full planks. So planks either on your elbows or with arms straight, doesn't really matter, but that's gonna just be a lot of load on your abdominal wall. So what I recommend here is switching to a modified position where your hands are on an elevated surface like a bench or a very stable chair, something elevated. And if that feels good, great. By the end of this trimester, you just may not want to do planks altogether and just change it out. If you do the incline position and you notice doming or coning at any point, you definitely want to just switch that out and do more things on your hands and knees like bear crawl hovers, bird dogs, other movements that are appropriate for this time frame. But full planks, I would say, are out at this point. Side planks are questionable, so it really just, again, depends on how your body's adapting to it. If you're noticing coning or not, if you're not, you might still be able to do a full like side plank, but it's really just going to depend on you and your body. Last modification for the third trimester would be exertion in the supine position. You're probably like, what the heck does that mean? So the movement I'm really thinking about here, the most common one, is a chest press. So dumbbells or barbells, and you're lying on your back and you're pressing that from your chest straight up over your chest. So you're exerting force in a supine or on your back position. And the thing about this is that a lengthy amount of time here and additional force can block the blood flow in the main artery carrying blood to your fetus. So of course we want to not be doing that. It's okay to be on your back for a little while unless your body's telling you like no, 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 and getting like dizzy or lightheaded or really giving you those signs. But exerting force is pretty much a no-go in the third trimester. And there are a couple different ways you can switch it out. So if you still want to keep working the same muscle groups, working your chest, you can definitely switch to either a standing chest press with a resistance band, or you can do a floor chest press. So lying on your back on the floor, but putting your hips up into a glute bridge. So your knees are bent, you're putting your hips up into a glute bridge. So essentially you are balancing up on your shoulder blades and then doing the chest press from there. So that can be a really good way to do the same motion, but also do it in a way that is not going to be, you know, blocking blood flow from a main artery. That's it for the modifications. And last but not least, I can't wrap it up without just saying, like, continue to listen to your body. I give you these things as recommendations and insights, but you are the best judge of your body always and forever. Like, you know if something's off, you know if something doesn't feel right. So definitely, like, don't hesitate to advocate for yourself. Don't hesitate to switch something out. Some warning signs. I know, like, listen to your body is such vague advice and I don't love to give it. So some things you can look out for are core doming. I said it many, many times in this episode, but if you notice any like doming in between your six pack abs, like a pushing out, that just means there is a lot of pressure pushing out against your abdominal wall. So you want to get that pressure under control by modifying or switching your breathing, which is too much to get into on this episode. Another warning sign would be leaking. So if you're leaking pee with anything, especially jumping exercises, which is why I don't necessarily recommend them at this point, leaking is definitely one. Pain, so pelvic pain, which is not necessarily a sign to stop exercise altogether, but I definitely wouldn't do the exercises that are causing pelvic pain, if you will. And I didn't get into that a lot in this episode, and I kind of regret it now. So I'm going to give you a little side note here that if you are experiencing pelvic pain, whether it's in the front or in the back, some things you can do aside from strengthening the muscles surrounding the joints, I would certainly avoid doing exercises on a single leg. So things like lunges, single leg deadlifts, lots of stair climbing, thinking things where you're on one leg a lot or balancing on one leg is going to really flare up that pain even more because you are adding more instability to an already unstable joint. So circling back, pelvic pain, I would not push through that pain. That's not a good pain to push through. If you notice pain at any point, modify, find a modification that works for you. And final warning sign, if you're noticing anything else funky with your pelvic floor, like you're noticing any heaviness or pressure, those are also warning signs that you don't want to play around with. So look out for those things. I do have some recommended additional episodes that you can listen to, kind of a jumping off point if you like this episode and you're like, I want to go deeper on some of this stuff. So episode number 7 is called Why Your Butt Got Smaller in Pregnancy, and that goes a little bit deeper into, of course, why your butt gets smaller in pregnancy and some different things that you can do about it. Number 12, or episode 12, is called Preparing for Postpartum Recovery Starts in Pregnancy. So that's going to give you some good tips on things that you can do now in the third trimester to prepare for a smoother recovery. And then episode 57 is called Early Postpartum, What to Expect and Essential Recovery Tips. There might be some overlap between those last two episodes, which is totally okay. Number 12 is more about prep. 57 is more about like what to expect, which I don't think people talk about so often. And we're kind of blindsided postpartum into like feeling how we feel and we think that we're alone. And so anyways, just giving you all the deets in that one of things that you can expect and how you can prepare your mind and body. And I'll go ahead and drop those episode numbers in the details or description below for the episode. That way you have them. You don't have to go back to this spot in the episode to remember. So definitely scroll down to find those and any other relevant links. I'll also put the links to some of my freebies below and coaching. So if you're looking for additional support past this episode, past this podcast, you really want a clear strategy and someone in your corner, then definitely learn more and apply below. And if you're new here, I especially want you to come follow me on Instagram. I'm over there at Strong Mama Wellness. You can send me a DM, say hello. Let me know what you're listening to. Let me know what topics you're interested in learning more about. Chances are I might already have one and I can speed up the process of you finding it, or it might be something that I can cover in a future episode. So either way, so glad you're here. Thank you so much. I will see you all or talk to you all next week for fourth trimester exercise tips and steps you can take to recover and return to strength after baby. All right, chat with you soon. And that's a wrap, Mama. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode of the Strong Mama Podcast. If this show has served you in some way, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes. Head to strongmamawellnessco.com for more free resources and opportunities for us to work together. Until next time, keep moving.